Morning, everyone. The Bible reading, as Albie said, Matthew 23, 1-24 for the first part. Then Jesus said to the crowds and to his disciples, "The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, so you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on other people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth father, for you have one father and he is in heaven. Nor are you to be called instructors, for you have one instructor, the Messiah. The greatest among you will be your servant. For those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You shut the door of the kingdom of heaven in people's faces. You yourselves do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when you have succeeded, you make them twice as much a child of hell as you are. Woe to you, blind guides! You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing, but anyone who swears by the gold of the temple was bound by that oath. You blind fools, which is greater, the gold or the temple that makes the gold sacred? You also say, if anyone swears by the altar, it means nothing, but anyone who swears by the gifts on the altar is bound by that oath. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar that makes the gift sacred? Therefore, anyone who swears by the altar swears by it and by everything on it. And anyone who swears by the temple swears by it and by the one who dwells in it. And anyone who swears by heaven swears by God's throne and by the one who sits on it. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat but swallow a camel. So the second part of the Bible reading. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside also will be clean. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of the bones of the dead and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside, you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate the graves of the righteous. And you say, if we had lived in the days of our ancestors, we would not have taken part with them in shedding the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the descendants of those who murdered the prophets. Go ahead then and complete what your ancestors started. You snakes, you brood of vipers, how will you escape being condemned to hell? Therefore, I am sending you prophets and sages and teachers. Some of them you will kill and crucify, others you will flog in your synagogues and pursue from town to town. And so upon you will come all the righteous blood that has been shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly, I tell you, all this will come on this generation. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you are not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Thanks for reading, Pete, and good morning, everyone. Well, there was a guy in the 1970s by the name of Frank Abagnale Jr. He was a famous fraudster. He reportedly stole $2.5 million in fake checks. But the thing that he was most famous for was for his ability to impersonate people or to impersonate occupations. So at various times in his life, he managed to get away with convincing people that he was an airline pilot, a lawyer, and even a doctor, even though he was actually none of those things. They actually made a movie about his life, starring Tom Hanks and Leonardo DiCaprio. You might have seen it. Now, Frank Abagnale Jr. was a skilled pretender. He was a fake until the law finally caught up with him. Well, this chapter of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 23 that Pete just read for us, it's a heavy one, isn't it? Jesus is angry, but he's also sad. He's deeply saddened. But he's angry with the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem. And the reason he's so angry is because they're pretending. They're faking it. They're hypocrites. On the outside, they look like this, but on the inside, they're actually that. Have you ever been on a Zoom call with someone and from their background, it looks like they're somewhere exotic, like the French Alps? But it's just, you work out, oh, it's just their background. They're 1,000 miles away from the French Alps. It's possible to look like a follower of Jesus, to be at church every week, to know your Bible, but to be 1,000 miles away from him. That's what's so confronting, I think, about this passage. In this chapter, Matthew shows us just how wrong the Jewish leaders were. And the aim of this chapter, I think, is to say to us, don't you be like them. Don't be a fake Christian. Don't make the same mistake that they did when it comes to Jesus. You might be able to fool others, but you can't fool Jesus. Well, there are three sections in this chapter. We're going to look at all three of them. The first one we're going to look at quite briefly, and then that middle section is the bulk of the passage. We're going to spend a bit of time on that. And then the last section we're going to look at quite briefly. But in the first section, Jesus warns us not to be like the Jewish leaders. Then in the second section, Jesus condemns the Jewish leaders directly. And then in the third section, Jesus rejects them altogether and he leaves. So we're going to look at each of them. But let's look at the first section now. We're going to look at verses 1 to 12. It'd be great to have a Bible open in front of you so you can follow along. And in this section, Jesus warns us against the Jewish leaders. In chapter 23, we're really at the pointy end of the story. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's come to Jerusalem and he knows, he's already predicted what's going to happen there, that he is going to be persecuted and he's going to be put to death by the Jewish leaders. He's going to be handed over to be put to death. And so the tensions really started to escalate. Over the last few chapters, we've seen the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem, one group after another, have come to Jesus and they've tried to trip him up. They're trying to trap him in his words, get him to say something that they can use against him. And so the chief priests come, and then the Sadducees, and then the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. But each time, Jesus leaves them speechless. He answers them so well that they have no comeback. And the last confrontation is at the end of chapter 22, the previous chapter, where the Pharisees, they come and they ask Jesus who he thinks the Messiah is. Now, if anyone knows who the Messiah was, who God's king was, the Christ, it should have been them. They should have known. The Pharisees should have known. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they were Old Testament experts. They should have been able to recognize the Messiah when he came, but they didn't. And so at the end of chapter 22, Jesus leaves them scratching their heads. And so we come to the start of chapter 23. And the crowds and Jesus' disciples, they've been watching what's been going on. And Jesus turns to the crowds in verse 1. He turns to his disciples and he says this in verse 1. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. So you must be careful to do everything they tell you. But do not do what they do, for they do not practice what they preach. They tie up heavy, cumbersome loads and put them on people's shoulders, but they themselves are not willing to lift a finger to move them. Your leaders, says Jesus, the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, they sit in Moses' seat. Now, just as Moses was appointed in the Old Testament to teach God's law, to bring God's word to the people, these guys are the ones who teach you God's word. And so you've got to listen to them. But don't do what they do. They will heap rule after rule on you. Rules that they can't even follow. Rules that they have no intention of helping you to follow. But everything they do is just for show. Have a look at verse 5. Jesus says, everything they do is done for people to see. They make their phylacteries wide and the tassels on their garments long. They love the place of honor at banquets and the most important seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplaces and to be called rabbi by others. And the people of Israel were to delight in God's law. God had given them his word, and God wanted them to keep it, to remember it. And God said to them, tie it on your arm as a symbol, tie it on your forehead as a symbol. Don't forget it. Talk about it with your kids. It was a metaphor. What God meant was they were to remember his law and to keep it. But by the time Jesus arrived, the Pharisees had made a practice of literally tying the law onto their arms and onto their foreheads. They made these things called phylacteries, little boxes that had inside them little bits of the Old Testament. And so if you wanted to show someone just how much you loved God's law, you would make your phylacteries big. And the same with the tassels. In the Old Testament, God told his people to attach blue tassels onto the edges of their cloaks. And again, it was a reminder of God's good commandments. And so what did the Pharisees do? They made their tassels extra long. Look how much I love God. Everything that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law did, they did for show. They loved to be respected and looked up to. They loved to have people call them rabbi, great teacher. But it was all for show. You are not to be like that, says Jesus in verse 8. You are not to desire for people to call you rabbi or teacher or father. None of you is better than another. You are all brothers and sisters. You all belong to God. And I am your teacher. Now, Jesus isn't saying that we shouldn't have teachers. No, God has given teachers to the church to build us up, to help us grow. What he is saying is that your greatness as a teacher of God's word doesn't come from your role, whether you're a preacher, a kids' church leader, a youth leader, a scripture teacher. Your greatness doesn't come from your role. Because in verse 12, if you try and use your role to exalt yourself, you will be humbled. God will bring you down. It's the humble who will be lifted up, says Jesus. So do not be like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. Now, if you're a Bible teacher, this is worth paying particular attention to, isn't it? Those of us who stand up the front and preach, we've got to be putting into practice what it is what we're teaching. Now, the first thing I want to do before I preach to you is to be putting God's word into practice in my own life. And the growth group leader, or the youth leader, or the kids' church leader, the first thing you've got to do before you teach the Bible to others is to be putting it into practice yourself. It can be so easy to do things just for show, can't it? To pretend. Now, we don't have phylacteries or tassels, but I wonder if there are other ways in which we try to show people, impress people with our godliness. And when we do that, sometimes we hide our sin from others, and that's dangerous. We want to be open with one another. We want to be accountable to one another to help each other grow. And so in this first part of the passage, this first section, Jesus warns us not to be like the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. They are hypocrites. You are not to be. And then in the second part of the passage, the tone amps up a little bit. Jesus moves from warning us to condemning the Jewish leaders directly. Now, there are seven woes here. If you look from verse 13, Jesus says, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. And again in verse 15, woe to you. Again and again, seven times. These are judgments. Jesus is condemning the teachers of the law and the Pharisees, the Jewish leaders. And at the heart of these seven woes is that the Jewish leaders are hypocrites. They're pretending to be one thing, but actually they're something else. They look like one thing, but it's just an act. They're hypocrites. These woes, they kind of go together in pairs. So we're going to look at them in pairs. Let's have a look at the first pair of woes in verses 13 to 15. And here we see that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they look like they're bringing people into God's kingdom, but they're not. Now look at verse 13. Jesus says, "You are shutting the door of the kingdom in people's faces, and you yourselves are not entering." And how are they doing that? The Jewish leaders are pushing people away from Jesus. Jesus is the Messiah. He's God's king. He's come to bring people into his kingdom. And what are the Jewish leaders doing? They're pushing people away from Jesus. Don't listen to him. It's a bit like trying to rake leaves on a rainy day. The more you try and rake them, the more the wind just scatters them. Jesus has come to gather his people, but the Pharisees are scattering them. These guys were the leaders. They were the leaders of God's people. They should have recognized that Jesus was the Messiah. They should have been the ones bringing people to Jesus, but they were doing the opposite. And so in the second woe, verse 15, in this pair, Jesus says that you guys go to great lengths. Woe to you. You go to great lengths to win converts who are just as opposed to Jesus as they are. Rather than bring people into God's kingdom, the Jewish leaders were shutting the door. Woe to you, hypocrites, says Jesus. Well, let's look at the second pair of woes, woes 3 and 4. And here we see that the Jewish leaders look like they take God's word seriously, but they do not. Look at verse 16. Woe to you, blind guides. You say, if anyone swears by the temple, it means nothing. But anyone who swears by the gold of the temple is bound by that oath. Now, in the Old Testament, God's people were to be faithful. They were to keep their oaths, their promises, particularly if they swore an oath in God's name. All right, what if I swear on the Bible? Or what if I swear on the temple or the altar? Do I still have to keep my oath? And so the Pharisees developed all these rules to try and work out just how close your oath was to God's name. And so if you swear by the temple, well, that's okay. But if you swear by the gold in the temple, well, that's close enough to God's name. You've got to keep that oath. Or if you swear by the altar in the temple, well, that's okay. But if you're free to break that oath. But if you swear by the sacrifice on the altar, well, that's an oath that you've got to keep. And so Jesus here says to the Pharisees, what a load of garbage. You hypocrites, everything belongs to God. Any oath that you make is related to God. You've got to keep any oath that you make. Now the Pharisees might have had good intentions. They looked like they were serious about obeying God's law, but actually they were using their rules to get around it. Now I wonder if sometimes we can have a similar attitude to God's word. Now, are we serious about putting it into practice? You hear it on a Sunday. You hear it at growth group during the week. Do you go away and do what God has said? Or are we looking for ways to get around God's word? That bit doesn't apply to me. I don't really like that bit. I'll leave it to one side. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they looked like they took God's word seriously, but they did not. You hypocrites, says Jesus. Again in verse 23, God's law in the Old Testament said that every person was to give a tenth of what they earned. They were to tithe. And so what did the Pharisees do? Well, they developed all these rules to work out exactly what you needed to tithe. Well, it can't just be your money. What about your crops? What about your clothes? You've got to give a tenth of everything. And so they had these rules right down to the smallest things, even the spices on your spice rack. The Pharisees were experts in tithing. But they were so busy shaking out a tenth of their parsley that they neglected the things that really mattered, the things that God really cared about. What about justice, says Jesus? What about showing mercy? What about faithfulness? You hypocrites, you're so busy with the little things that you've forgotten the things that really matter. Hypocrites. And I wonder again if sometimes we can be like that. We can be big on the little things, but we neglect to obey God in the big things. Don't be like the Pharisees, says Jesus. They looked like they took God's word seriously, but they did not. Well, let's look at the third pair of woes there. And this time, we see that the Jewish leaders, they look like they are righteous, but they are not. Have you ever gone to grab a mug from the cupboard? Not at your place, but at an Airbnb place maybe. And you think it's a clean mug and you look inside and you're like, oh, there's a coffee stain in there, or there's some unrecognizable dirty mark or a rat poo or something disgusting. The cup looked clean on the outside, but inside it's filthy. If you look down to verse 25, Jesus says to the Jewish leaders, that's what you guys are like. You look like clean cups on the outside, but inside you're full of greed. Or down to verse 27, Jesus says, you're like whitewashed tombs. You look great on the outside, but inside you're full of bones and rotten flesh and cockroaches and rats. You guys are hypocrites. You put on a good show, but it's all just to hide the wickedness inside. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law looked like they were righteous, but they were not. And finally, woe number 7, down to verse 29. And this is where the Jewish leaders have really got it wrong. They look like they honor God's messengers, but they do not. In the past, God had sent messengers to his people, prophet after prophet, to call the people back to him. But prophet after prophet, the people ignored them and put them to death. And so what do the Pharisees and teachers of the law say here? If we were there, we wouldn't have done that. We would have honored them. We wouldn't have killed the prophets. Look, we're building tombs for the prophets, for all those prophets that never got a proper burial. But Jesus sees right through them. You are no different to your ancestors, says Jesus. You're just finishing what they started. And so in verse 34, Jesus says, I'm going to send you more messengers. I'm going to send you prophets, Jesus says. I will send my disciples. And you will chase them and you will persecute them and you will have them put to death. You are no different, says Jesus. You Pharisees murder God's messengers, just like your ancestors did. You see, the Jewish leaders looked like they honored God's messengers, but they did not. And just a few chapters later, they will prove it. They will put to death God's ultimate messenger, the Messiah himself. You hypocrites, says Jesus. The Jewish leaders have rejected Jesus as God's Messiah, and they've led the people to reject him too. Well, in these 7 woes, Jesus condemns the Jewish leaders. They were hypocrites. They were pretenders, fakes. They looked like they were leading people into God's kingdom, but they were not. They looked like they took God's word seriously, but they did not. They looked like they were righteous, but they were not. They looked like they honored God's messengers, the one that God had sent, but they did not. They rejected God's messengers. They rejected God's own son when he came. And so finally, in the last chapter, section of this chapter, Jesus rejects them. We'll look at these verses just very, very briefly. If you look down to verse 37, Jesus laments, he weeps over the people of Jerusalem. Verse 37, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I've longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers the chicks under her wings, and you were not willing. During the first few weeks of a chick's life, the mother hen actually shelters them under her wings. If there's danger, she will call to them and they'll come and they'll find safety under her wings. If it's hot or cold or rainy, she will shelter them. Again and again, throughout the Old Testament, God had called his people. He tried to gather them back to him, just like a mother hen, but they'd refused. And now here, God has sent his own son to gather them, but still they refuse to come. And this cry of Jesus here, it's filled with emotion. In Luke's gospel, we're told that Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. He's moved to tears. God's own son, the Messiah, has come to his people to gather them back to God, but they refuse to come. While Jesus seeks to gather his people, the Jewish leaders scatter them. The Jewish leaders reject Jesus as the Messiah, and so finally, he rejects them. Have a look at verse 38. Jesus says, "Look, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" The king has come to his city. He's come to his house, the temple, to his own people. But his own people, the leaders of Jerusalem, reject him. And so he leaves. This is huge. At the start of the very next chapter, chapter 24, the first words are, "Jesus left the temple." Jesus leaves. He departs. This isn't just a see you tomorrow moment. No, the house of God is left desolate. Jesus has left. God has departed. This is a terrible judgment on the leaders of Israel, on God's people. They've rejected God, and so God has rejected them. But one day Jesus will return on the last day as judge. And on that day, every knee will bow before him and acknowledge that he is the Messiah. The Jewish leaders, the people of Israel, people from every nation will acknowledge Jesus. He is God's King. There is judgment. There's judgment in these verses, but there's also hope. I think part of what Matthew wants to show us here in these chapters is that even though Israel have rejected God's Messiah, God's purposes have not failed. In fact, by rejecting Jesus, the Jewish leaders bring about exactly what God had planned all along. As the Jewish leaders have Jesus put to death, Jesus dies for the sin of the whole world. And God's plan to bless all people from all nations is accomplished as the nations are gathered to the Messiah. They are gathered to Jesus, who has died and risen for them. And as the gospel of Jesus goes out to the world, people from all nations will acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah. And they will say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Well, the Jewish leaders had made a great mistake. They were pretenders. They were hypocrites. They'd rejected Jesus as the Messiah. Instead of bringing people to Jesus, they drove people away. They rejected Jesus, and so Jesus rejected them. But through their rejection, God now calls all people. He calls us to come to him. And so don't make the mistake that the Pharisees made. Jesus isn't interested in fakes. Come to Jesus, the King, and put your trust in him. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much that you sent your son Jesus to be rejected for us so that he might gather all people back to you. Father, please help us to avoid making the same mistake that the Pharisees did. We don't want to be fake followers of you. Help us to trust Jesus. And please put in our hearts that same concern for the lost that Jesus had. We pray it in his name. Amen.